Welcome to the Legacy Homeschool Reflections podcast. My name is Ruth Adams, and I'm so glad that you've joined me today. I'm a homeschool graduate from the prehistoric pioneer days of the homeschooling movement, and now I am homeschooling my own 7 children on a small hobby farm in Texas. I'm married to my husband, Matt. And we are enjoying this adventure that the Lord has us on with home discipleship and raising our children for the glory of God. Our Bible verse for this episode of the podcast is 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Dear homeschooling mama, here's a word of encouragement for you today. I want you to remember the same God who called you to homeschool will be faithful to complete what He began in your family. This is something that I often remind myself of when my own heart is lacking strength or inspiration or vision. I remember that the same God who called me will be faithful and will complete the work that He has begun in our own family. And so I want to encourage you with that scripture today. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Well, on today's podcast, I have invited my husband, Matt, that you have heard from several times before, to join me. So welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Thank you, sweetheart. I'm glad that we can do this again.
Well, I'm glad that you're here to discuss with me and share with our listeners about a subject, a trial that we went through 3 years ago. And it's quite emotional for both of us. So I think that I know I have been sort of procrastinating about talking about this on the podcast, but we want to come on here and just seek to share our story about the birth of our youngest child, Ella Ruth, and her birth 3 years ago. She just turned 3 at the end of August, and it was one of the hardest trials we've ever been through, but God showed Himself faithful. And we want to share our story because we want to encourage others who are going through trials with the faithfulness that God showed to us. Before Ella Ruth was born, I had been really struggling with the pregnancy. It had been extremely hard. I've had very difficult and painful pregnancies, but it seemed similar to what I had experienced before. So I was just trying to spend a lot of time in the recliner and just get through the end of the pregnancy. But we found out that Ella Ruth was transverse, and we had not had this problem before with our other pregnancies. And so because of that, I went to the chiropractor to see if we could get the baby to turn, and that was not successful. And my doctor suggested that we would go ahead and schedule an induction and a version where they would try to get the baby to turn and go ahead and induce me and let her be born early. So that's kind of where this story begins.
Right. So we scheduled the induction, and it was similar to some of our other children. You were induced with several of our others. And so
getting up at the crack of dawn,
got up early
in the dark,
got to the hospital at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and went through all the normal routine procedures and paperwork to get you checked in and ready to start an induction.
And when I look back and think about that time, I remember I was so exhausted from all the problems that I was having in the pregnancy, all the pain, and I was so ready to be done. And also, I think we were quite overwhelmed just with life. And I remember a conversation we had before she was born where you expressed to me that you just were unsure about how we were going to handle another baby at this point. We were already struggling and so overwhelmed, and I had been so, well, a lot had been on your shoulders because I had been unable to really care for a lot of my normal responsibilities.
Right, and even before you got pregnant, you'd had a lot of health issues and had gone to multiple doctors trying to get your body right.
Some chronic pain issues, and then I got pregnant,
right.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so it was kind of a bit of a trial even leading up to...
Yes, we were tired.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but we got to the hospital, and things went fairly smoothly. The only difference this time is they were going to do the aversion, where they actually move the baby in your tummy by pushing on your tummy to try to get the baby head down. And they thought they'd accomplished this task. They had the ultrasound hooked up to you and the heart monitor and everything. And with the ultrasound, they moved the baby, and they thought everything was put in place so that we could have a baby. And so we were like, great, we can move forward. And once the baby was head down, they started Pitocin and they broke your water. So then it was just a matter of waiting. We had done this before. Just wait until you're able to give birth. But somewhere along the line, the baby's heart monitor kept malfunctioning. The heart rate on the monitor kept going in and out, and I would try to manipulate the thing and get it working again, and the nurse came back in, and we would get it going for a bit, and then it would go out again. And so we knew something wasn't quite right, and so then they brought the ultrasound machine back in. And it turned out the baby was no longer head down. It had flipped back into the transverse position. Well, at that point, they no longer could try to get the baby head down. Your water had been broke. They could harm the baby if they tried to move it. And so the doctor came in and says, we have to do a C-section now. And you have never had a C-section. This was your 7th baby. You had never had a C-section before. So it was a little bit scary at that point. We're trying to think through, do we really have to do this? And what is this going to involve? I know you were very nervous, and I mean, just remember you shaking. You were so nervous about it. But we decided, okay, we've got to do this. It's time to wheel you into the operating room. Do you remember that point, what you were thinking? And
it seemed like it was happening very quickly, and I was nervous. I think I remember trying to get jewelry off. I couldn't have any kind of jewelry on for that. And it was just, things just happened really, really fast.
Right. And at that point, they had already given you an epidural, I believe.
Yes, but and it wasn't working properly.
Right.
Yes, and I kept asking about that. As time was progressing through this whole process, I kept saying, the epidural hasn't worked. I'm still feeling things. And I remember them saying, oh, well, our epidurals have changed some. And I thought, you know, I've had 6 previous epidurals. I know what an epidural is supposed to do. And right. I'm not numb. I know this isn't right.
Right. And that played into the birth. So as they wheeled you off to the operating room, I was supposed to be in there with you. I went and got cleaned up and got the scrubs on and the mask on, the gloves on and everything. And I was ready to go into the operating room. And then the doctor came out and looked at me and says, Ruth's epidural did not work. And so we're going to have to put her completely under sedation. And because of that, you cannot come in the operating room. And I'm a bit shocked at that point, because I want to be there for the birth of my baby. You know, I've never missed the birth of any of our children.
Well, I remember shaking like a leaf there in the operating room. I was freezing cold and very nervous about all of this, and very concerned that my epidural had not numbed me. And so I remember the doctor kind of poking my leg and saying, you know, can you feel that? And I said, yes, I can feel that. And he said, well, is that like a poke or is that like pain? And so it was obvious that I was not numb. And he said, well, we can you know, try something again, or we can just put you under and get this taken care of. And at that point, I was so shaken and so scared, and I think fearful that I would not have the numbing that I needed to be cut open. I just wanted all of it to be over, and I just said, you know, put me to sleep. But I did not realize that that meant you wouldn't be in there.
Right, right. So, right. So at that point, the doctor came out and told me what was going to happen, and it was just bustling. People were running in and out of the operating room, and I didn't know what to think. I'm just standing there waiting, watching the doors, and it was really stressful and emotional, and just a lot of things are running through my head. And with so much going on, you know, I'm beginning to get fearful. What's going on? You know, it was taking a long time, it seemed like. And finally, after what seemed like forever, I hear through the doors a little baby crying. And at that point, I just lost it. It was such an emotion that I hear my baby crying, but I cannot even see her. And again, I still had to wait a long time. And I remember there was another man whose wife was in another operating room, and he saw me and he says, "It'll be okay." You know, he started trying to comfort me and just saying, my wife's been through, I think maybe one or two C-sections before. He just started, you know, telling me that how the healing process will go and just letting me know it's going to be okay. But so I was just thankful for somebody there. I have no idea who the man was, never saw him again, but that was an encouragement. But finally, they bring our little girl out, and she was a beautiful, still is a beautiful little girl, Ellerith. And so I then took her to the nursery and took care of her for a while, took some pictures of her, saw her birth weight and different things. But then you were still in the operating room, so I had to leave her in the nursery and come back and wait for you. And it took a very long time. It was probably an hour after the surgery before they finally took you out. And before they did, your doctor came out and says to me, "The reason the baby was transverse is because of a fibroid that you had." And we knew you actually had the fibroid.
Because I had had this fibroid through several pregnancies. Several of them,
and it had never caused an issue before.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I think it was just a month before you'd had an ultrasound. They saw the fibroid, but it was relatively small, and they didn't think much of it. Well, in that time, apparently it grew, because what she says to me is the fibroid was about the size of a baseball, and it was blocking the birth canal. So there's no way you would have been able to have the baby naturally. But it also meant a very extensive C-section, because as she cut into you, the fibroid was in the way, and she couldn't get to the baby, and she had to make a rather large incision, in fact, a T-cut into your uterus, so a horizontal cut and a vertical cut, so that she could get around the fibroid and get the baby out, and then she had to take the fibroid out as well. So she explained all this to me, and to let me know that you've been through a very extensive surgery with this, not only the C-section, but then the removal of the fibroid, and a very deep, large cut to get the baby out. So she explained that to me and then waited a while, and finally they bring you out.
And if I can cut in there, sure. Didn't she say something to you at that point about if we ever had another baby, it would have to be through cesarean,
yes.
I think. Yeah.
Yes. Right, so...
because my uterus wouldn't be strong and healthy enough.
Right.
For a normal birth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she... you finally come out and you're still just out of it. And part of what was taking so long is because it was a pretty extensive surgery, and they had to do a lot just to get the baby out and then to sew you back up. was a very extensive process. And so, but they finally bring you out and you're not out of it yet. you were very groggy and sleepy, and they took you out into an area where you could recover. And I, at some point, I got the baby and I brought her to you, and you could just barely open your eyes and look at her and smile and then go back to sleep.
Yeah, I remember that. That's the first memory that I have after the surgery, is that you put Ella Ruth right up next to my face, and we have some pictures of that. And so I guess I was trying to wake up and figure out what was going on, but I knew that that was our little girl, and you were leaning over the two of us and with your scrubs on and cap and everything. And I remember looking up in my weakened state, half asleep, but trying to meet my little girl and seeing you there, and just thinking, just thoughts of admiration for how you were taking care of the two of us. And so that's the first thing that I remember, very different from my first memories with our other births and our other babies. But
right. Mm-hmm. It was difficult, you know. You couldn't nurse the baby right away. And so I was having to feed the baby, or the nursery was having to feed the baby. And, you know, that was kind of sad, because that's a special part of the birth process.
Well, and as we continue to tell the story, it turns out that I wasn't able to nurse her in the end because of all that happened. But
Right. So, but the baby came, and they finally put you into a room, and things get somewhat back to normal. You've had a baby, you're in the postpartum part of the delivery and all.
And yet I was in so much pain.
Right.
Compared to recoveries with the others, there was no comparison.
Yeah, this is the only time you've been on morphine and had the little push button that you could give yourself morphine.
I had never felt that kind of pain.
Right. So it was hard, but we were grateful. The baby was in good shape, and I mean, it was all over. It was just time to recover at that point.
And I guess at that point, we probably ought to end this podcast and pick it up next time, because we have a long ways to go. And I just want to encourage you that the God who has called you to disciple your family, to homeschool your children, who has given you these children, He is faithful. And when we go through troublesome seas and stormy waters, He is the same God who is faithful in those times as in the good times. And Matt and I will come back on the next podcast and continue, because really we're just getting into the main portion of the trial that we faced there after Ella Ruth's birth. So we hope you can come back and join us again next time. We'll pick up where we left off. And I thank you for joining us today, and God bless you. We'll see you next time.